Welcome to this special presentation of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Tonight, from Holy Family Church in Columbus, we'll be celebrating the Ascension Thursday Solemn High Mass in the extraordinary form. St. Joseph Cathedral Choir is going to be providing the music. My name is Father Ty Thompson. I'm the pastor of St. Bernadette in Lancaster and St. Mary in Bremen. I'm going to be providing some commentary and direction for this Mass, especially for the listeners who might not be familiar with the older form of the Mass, the extraordinary form, the Missal of 1962. Just beginning to look forward to the procession here as it forms in the back of the church. And the sacred ministers, the clergy, will all enter the sanctuary in hierarchical order. At the conclusion of the procession, the Gregorian chant introit will begin, Viri Galilei, which is a text from the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter. Ye men of Galilee, why wonder you looking up to heaven? Hallelujah. He shall so come as you have seen him going up into heaven. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The celebrant for this Mass is Father Cyrus Haddad, who's the chaplain to the Extraordinary Form community. Father Kevin Lutz, who's a pastor of St. Mary in German Village, will be serving as the deacon for the Mass, and Father Ryan Schmidt, who's the parochial vicar of the parishes of St. Mary in Delaware and Sacred Hearts in Cardington, is serving as the subdeacon. Our new bishop, Bishop Robert Brennan, is in attendance for this Mass. It's a beautiful gift of his presence and support to the community which celebrates this older form of the Mass week by week.
Oh.
Beneath the singing, the clergy are praying Psalm 42. I shall go unto the altar of God, to God, who gives joy to my youth. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against a godless nation. They're also making the Confiteor and other preparatory prayers to the Mass. They now ascend the sanctuary steps and incense the altar. At the conclusion of the introit, the Kyrie will begin, and it's going to be sung in a polyphonic setting. That's a choral setting according to the Mass for Four Voices by William Byrd, a Mass composed in the early 1590s in London, England, during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. We'll hear that for all the ordinary parts of the Mass, the Kyrie, the Gloria, the Creed, the Sanctus and its Benedictus, and the Agnus Dei. we've just heard the Gloria, and now we'll have the collect, the opening prayer of the Mass. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who believe thine only begotten Son, our Redeemer, to have ascended on this day into heaven, may also ourselves dwell in mind amid heavenly things. At the conclusion of this prayer, this subdeacon will chant the epistle taken again from the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles. You're listening to the Ascension Thursday Solemn High Mass from Holy Family Church, a special presentation of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. The epistle is chanted in the sanctuary facing the altar, a kind of a sign of reading the sacred scriptures, the divine poetry, to the divine poet, their author. The scripture is chanted according to a set tone, and you hear when the name of our Lord is mentioned, the doffing of the berettas of the sacred ministers and those sitting in choir for an honorific to the Holy Name. We've just heard the conclusion of the epistle, and now the choir will chant the Alleluia with its verses from the Psalms, which is the prayer book of the Church. God is ascended with a shout. And the Lord, with the sound of a trumpet, alleluia, the Lord is in Sinai, in the holy place, ascending on high. He hath led captivity captive. The deacon is just getting in place in the sanctuary to chant the gospel, which is chanted towards the east. Mass is celebrated, towards the north. Mass is celebrated towards the east, towards the rising sun. And so the gospel is chanted towards the north, towards the pagan north, if you envision it. Early church in the Mediterranean, the barbarian tribes invading, coming from the north. So the gospel is chanted to convert them. The solemnity will be with what we're familiar with, the signing of the book, the forehead, the lips, and the heart with the sign of the cross, and the incensation of the sacred text is again chanted according to set familiar tone.
Yeah.
We've just heard the conclusion from the last chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, sung for this Mass by Father Kevin Lutz, serving as the deacon. Now the clergy will take their places while Father Haddad delivers the sermon. You're listening to the Ascension Thursday Solemn High Mass from Holy Family Church, a special presentation of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
The reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he also showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth, for John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They, therefore, who had come together, began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of it to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witness for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, whom has been taken from you into heaven, shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. The gospel is taken from the gospel according to Mark. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples and as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. The Gospel of the Lord. Before I begin, I would like to extend a word of thanks to Bishop Brennan for his presence here with us. It is such a blessing to have you with us, Bishop. I would also like to thank in a special way Father Kevin Luntz, who is our deacon this evening, and Father Ryan Schmidt, who is our subdeacon this evening, and all of the clergy and seminarians who have come to worship with us. I'd also, in a special way, like to thank Dr. Richard Fitzgerald and the St. Joseph Cathedral Choir for their wonderful, wonderful singing and helping us to celebrate this Mass, and to thank St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, for promoting and broadcasting this Mass even now as we speak, as well as Father Ty Thompson, who's providing commentary for that right now. Hopefully not over me, though. I also have to thank in a special way Beretta Books and the Canons Regular of St. John Cantius for licensing the book An Explanation of the Mass at such a charitable rate, and to D-Printing for having really gone above and beyond and giving us such a great rate on printing, and to an anonymous donor who's covered the cost of having the choir here with us. I'd also like to thank all of our servers here present. There is a reception after, and I would like to thank Carol and Doug for all of their work in preparing for that reception. And I'd also like to thank Nicole Semental, who did so much work behind the scenes to make this happen. In addition, you might find that you have been given a program. If you're not familiar with the Lenten Mass, it is a little small missal to follow along. I know many who are not here are not entirely familiar with the extraordinary form because I invited you and I know who you are. And then also they have all the propers here as well. Those are all printed for you. If, in addition to that, on your way out, you may wish to pick up this booklet. It is my personal gift to you. It is an explanation of the prayers and ceremonies of the Holy Mass. It is a classic work on the Mass. So especially for those who may have not have always had an understanding of the old Mass, the traditional Mass, but it is it's a wonderful way to explain it and to begin to explore that what you're experiencing here a little bit farther, a little bit further. In addition, I have to make a pitch. Make sure to check out columbuslatinmass.org for future events. We have some coming forward. Of course, we always have Mass here at Holy Family on Sundays at 8:30 in the morning. You're all welcome to that. And Corpus Christi and Sacred Heart, we've got Masses in the works for those. So those are some forthcoming events. I think there were some others being discussed as well earlier this evening. As for those who are new to the traditional Mass, to be perfectly honest, with the many layers of rich symbolism and the deep spirituality that's involved in this Mass, there are far too many things to comment on. But I do feel like there might be a few that would be helpful for you who may be new. I would like at this point to borrow freely from Father Lutz. When encountering the Latin language, you may be wondering, what does that mean? What does it say? I don't speak Latin. And Father Lutz is always keen to tell us that every single word in Latin, you can easily translate as glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. In addition, encountering the Latin Mass, in its language, but also encountering it in a way, it's a thing of such beauty, and it's a thing that is so remarkably profound and reverent. And it reminds me often, if you've seen the film The Shawshank Redemption, at one point, it's a very famous film, and somebody plays an opera piece over the speaker, and one of the characters, Red, played by Morgan Freeman, comes on, and he has this voiceover when everybody's listening in this prison to this opera piece, and he says, "I have no idea to this day what those two Italian ladies were singing about. Truth is, I don't want to know. I like to think they were singing about something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words and makes your heart ache because of it." That's true about an Italian opera. How much more is it true about the sublime words of the Mass? How much more true is it about this great gift of liturgy which we've been given? So we certainly can experience the wonder, the reverence, the beauty of this Mass, even if we don't know how to translate each and every word. In addition to that, you might notice that the priest faces away in a different direction. And one of the better ways to understand that is that he's not a facing away, but we are all facing our Lord together. That the priest is leading us toward God, and we are we're walking and facing and worshiping the God who is before our very eyes. And in that sense, if I were to lead you anywhere, I would walk in front and look ahead, and we would go down the path together. The other thing that you might notice, although perhaps a little bit less so in this particular Mass, but there happens to be a little more silence in the more traditional Mass, especially at the more sacred moments, at the point of consecration, at the Roman canon, as it's being, the words are being pronounced. And that is a time of deep reverence that we can enter into prayer, that we can enter into that silence, that moment of silence, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us as we offer our prayers in union with the sacrifice of the Mass. Finally, there is a difference in how we receive Holy Communion at Mass, in the traditional Mass. It is kneeling. We kneel at the altar, although if you cannot kneel, that's fine. You can just stand. But if you can kneel, you kneel at the altar, and we always receive on the tongue. We receive the host on the tongue. And in the new Mass, in the ordinary form of the Mass, the priest says the body of Christ, and you confirm that by saying amen ourselves. But in the old Mass, the priest says a prayer which means, "May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ keep safe your soul unto life everlasting. Amen." So it's his prayer for your salvation, which is why he is the one that says amen at that point. So you don't need to say anything. You just present your tongue, and we communicate at that point. And just line up here at the altar rail. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I have to say that preaching here and now, I am a bit nervous. And it might be because my fellow clergy are here, and you know. And in some ways, it might be because my brand new bishop is going to watch me preach for the first time. But that's not it, really. Because the thing that I'm really nervous about, my mom said she was going to show up. Ascension, the feast of the Ascension, the act, the moment of the Ascension, is mentioned, it's celebrated in every single Mass. It's remembered. The canon of the Missal, of the Mass itself. Right after the consecration and the major elevations, there is the moment of remembering what we're doing, what this is about, what is being present here. And it is the Passion, the Resurrection, and the Ascension of our Lord. It's right there, every single Mass. And yet, at the same time, isn't that just when Christ left? Isn't that just when our Lord took off? Is that all the Ascension is? Why is it there? Why is it so important that it would be that point of focus in our Mass? To be honest, the Ascension is not what it appears to be at first glance. Not simply the leaving of our Lord. We're tempted sometimes, I think, to wonder, why did our Lord leave? Did he abandon us? Has he walked away? In some ways, we could look at the evidence. He has proved his divinity beyond any kind of question. He has raised from the dead. He is resurrected. He comes back in his full glory. The truth of the Catholic faith, the truth of the Christian faith, hinges on our Lord's resurrection, and he is risen. He is divine. But at the same time, after that, he doesn't restore Israel the way that his disciples thought that he was going to restore Israel. In fact, he gives them this seemingly impossible task: go out and preach to all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all I have commanded you. Go and make disciples of all nations. That's what he says. And then, as he gives them that command, this impossible task, he leaves. But is that how the apostles understood it at the Ascension? Did he just disappear? He's no longer present. He is absent in some way? No. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, we know that they worshiped him and then went back to Jerusalem full of joy. They worshiped him. Now, we remember when someone else worshipped our Lord in the Gospel according to Matthew, when the Magi come and they lay themselves before our Lord in worship, in his presence. They, the apostles, worshipped our Lord because they knew he was still present. Not in the same way that he was before, but still there. They worshipped him because they knew that he was with them, that he would help make that mission to proclaim the gospel possible. We today share in that same joy that they had going into Jerusalem because we know of our Lord's presence. We know that he is here, present in this room at this moment, knowing that he strengthens us for that same mission of proclaiming the gospel, of making disciples of all nations. Indeed, we know of his visible presence because we know that Saint Leo the Great points out, our Redeemer's visible presence has passed into the sacraments, veiled as they are. His presence is there. We rejoice in that knowledge. In fact, we rejoice so much that our hearts are on the brink of bursting with joy because our Lord is here. Our Lord did not ascend to be distant from us, but he descended so that he could be close to each and every single one of us. We know that we desire more than anything to break forth in praise, in adoration, in glorification, and in joy in the presence of our Lord. As with the apostles, we have come to the realization that he has not left his Father when he came down to earth, nor then does he abandon his disciples when he returns to the Father. He is here. Just as he is in every tabernacle, in every church, covering the whole world. Just as the graces of every altar of sacrifice, he is present at thousands upon thousands of masses said every day all over the face of the earth. So here in this church, we kneel before the cross of our Lord crucified. We kneel before his empty tomb and his resurrected body. We kneel before him and worship him as he ascends to the Father with the promise that we will join him on the last day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, Bishop Brennan has expressed the desire to extend a special blessing on this occasion. Reverendissimus in Christo Pater et Dominus Dominus Robertus Dei, et apostolice sedes gratia huius sancte columbensis ecclesiae episcopus dat et concedit omnibus hic presentibus quadraginta dies de vera indulgentia in forma ecclesiae consueta rogate Deum pro felici statu sanctissimi Domini nostri Franciscus divina providentia pape duocentissimi sexagesimi sexti dominationis suae reverendissime et sancte matris ecclesiae. The Right Reverend Father and Lord in Christ, Robert, by the grace of God and of the Apostolic See, Bishop of this Holy Church of Columbus, gives and grants to all persons here present a plenary indulgence to be gained on the usual conditions. Pray to God for the good estate of His Holiness Francis I, by Divine Providence Pope, of His Lordship the Bishop, and of Holy Mother Church. Please rise.
Praecibus immeritus Beate Mariae, semper virginis, Beate Michaelis Arcangeli, Beate Ioannis Baptiste, Sanctorum Apostolorum Petri et Pauli, et omnium Sanctorum Misereator Vestri Omnipotens Deus, et dimissis peccatis vestris, perducar vos ad vitam aeternam. Amen. Indulgentiam absolutionem et remissionem peccatorum vestorum tribuat vobis omnipotens et misericordes Dominus. Amen. Et benedictio Dei omnipotentis Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti descendat super vos et maneat semper. Amen.
The bishop, just having imparted his blessing, now returns to his place in choir as the sacred ministers will assemble before the altar and begin the creed, the credo of Mass for the Ascension Thursday, which you're listening to on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. We'll let the St. Joseph Cathedral Choir sing this credo in full. Just having finished now the first part of the Mass, the Mass of the Catechumens, it's called, the Liturgy of the Word, we move on to the Mass of the Faithful, or the Liturgy of the Eucharist, in parallel in the modern rite, with the offertory antiphon, Ascendit Deus. God is ascended with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Alleluia. We've just seen the bread and wine brought to the altar and prepared for the sacrifice of the Mass. And incensed, that beautiful and ancient custom of liturgical prayer, rising up to the heavens. And then, after, of course, the gifts in the altar are incensed, then the sacred ministers, including the bishop present, are incensed according to hierarchical rank down to the people. May this incense which thou hast blessed, O Lord, ascend to thee. May thy mercy descend upon us. The priest prays. Words of the psalmist then, let my prayer, O Lord, be directed as incense in thy sight, the lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and a door round about my lips. Incline not my heart to evil words, to make excuses in sins. May the Lord enkindle within us the fire of his love and the flame of everlasting charity. Amen. We see also the subdeacon having taken his place at the foot pace of the altar steps there, veiling his eyes like an imitation of the angels, even veiling their eyes before the sacred mystery of God's holy presence. He represents, in a way, the Jewish people of the Old Covenant who didn't see the Lord in his fullness. He has under his humeral veil the paten he used for the Mass, ancient vestige of when Holy Communion was taken around from the stational Mass of the Pope in Rome to other churches and to the sick as well. As we finish the offertory here, head into the secret prayer in the preface of the Ascension, beginning with its dialogue. Now the celebrant sings the preface, "It is truly meet and just, right, and for our salvation, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God, through Christ our Lord, who, after his resurrection, appeared openly to all his disciples, and while they looked on, was taken up into heaven, that he might grant unto us to be sharers in his own divinity, and therefore the angels and archangels, the thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts of the heavenly army, we sing the hymn of thy glory evermore, saying," and then the choir will take up the text of the Sanctus, familiar to us, again, according to that polyphonic setting by William Byrd, his Mass for Four Voices. We'll listen to that in full. That'll take us, as the celebrant prays the beginning of the canon, up to the consecration. with the Eucharist having been consecrated. Now the Benedictus will continue. We've just heard the conclusion of the Benedictus and then the public sign of humility of the priest who uses a loud voice to say Nobis quoque peccatoribus to us sinners also. From all time, the canon has been recited silently. Congregation present can contribute by their participation in this beautiful act of prayer in a mystery which the priest leads them there and having entered into the Holy of Holies. As members of the Church Militant on Earth, we join our prayers to the eternal liturgy of heaven, Church Triumphant, and we offer in union with the priest our participation in the liturgical sacrifice. Heard the celebrant sing the Our Father and the congregation present join in its conclusion there. Now there will be the fraction rite and the exchange of peace as the Agnus Dei begins again from Bird's Mass for Four Voices. We've just heard the Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world, and the people's threefold response, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, speak but the word, and my soul shall be healed. Now we have the distribution of Holy Communion to the faithful, first the servers there in the sanctuary, and then to the faithful at the communion rail, which is an extension of the altar in a beautiful way. We'll hear now the communion antiphon, Salite Domino, from Psalm 67. Sing ye to the Lord who mounteth above the heaven of heavens to the east. Alleluia. Just a word about these beautiful chants. Of course, the texts are taken largely from the Psalms, but you notice Gregorian chant is not like our hymn genre of music that relies upon rhyming and a strict rhythm. Instead, it just takes the sacred texts alone and elevates them with the beautiful melody of the chant. And in a particular way today, it elevates them because there's a text painting going on, a motif of having the music itself be inspired by the words being sung. So you might notice on some of the words that talk about going up, like super, above, chelos, heaven, and ascendit, he ascends. The melody itself rises up, and in that text painting shows, even on the page of the Gregorian chant and in the ear, the movement of the heart and soul upward with the Lord. It's a great feature of the chants on this liturgical day. Another unique feature that we saw briefly earlier was the extinguishing of the Paschal candle, this ending of the Paschal observance of the 40 days, right after the Gospel. Of course, the Paschal candle is a symbol of our Lord's presence, and it's taken away for a little while, as the text tells us. And that's a liturgical representation of that. You know, the original novena offered during this time, these 9 days of prayer and preparation for the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the church gets her birth. And so these beautiful Gregorian chants help, and these beautiful liturgical rites help to take that rhythm of the sacred liturgy and really incarnate it deeply into the lives of people who observe them year by year. On the more solemn days, you will hear the Eubulus, which is an extended single syllable in a highly flourished melodic way to indicate the height of the solemnity. We're very happy to be able to present this solemn high Latin Mass in the extraordinary form on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. This is great blessing for us to be able to share it with many people who might not be familiar with the extraordinary form, the Missal of 1962. This is the Mass in the form it was offered until the liturgical changes during the 1960s, and after that, transitional missals gave way to our modern rite that began there in 1970. Many people either remained attached to this form or discovered it anew after permissions to celebrate it were extended, first by St. John Paul II in 1988 and again by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI in 2007. And it has spread to many parishes, even places that had not previously experienced this older form of the Mass, to draw upon the riches and the history of its celebration and its place in the life of the Church, not just past, but present and future. If you're just joining us, I'm Father Ty Thompson. I'm the pastor of St. Bernadette in Lancaster and St. Mary in Bremen. During these times in between the music and sacred action of the liturgy, we're just offering a little bit of commentary and direction to help those who are listening and especially might not be completely familiar with all of the ceremonies and rites of this Mass, to be oriented to it a little bit. We want to talk about the silence that characterizes this Mass in many ways. In the book of Revelation, there, after the seals are opened, it says there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And that's a fascinating way to think about the Mass, a window, not just a window, a curtain, a veil being lifted so that we can truly enter in to that liturgy of divine worship that takes place constantly with the angels and saints in heaven, all focused together facing the Lord. And so we too get to do that in a beautiful way, in a silent way, where words fail, really, to express the depth of our love of the Lord. And this form of the liturgy reflects that in an especially reverent way. I want to say a few words more about the Mass setting of the ordinary. Again, that Kyrie and Gloria, the Credo, the Sanctus, the Benedictus, the Agnus Dei, those parts of the Mass that don't change, the stable text that many composers, countless throughout history, have set according to different musical composition. And this one by William Byrd in the 1500s. This is in Reformation England, when Queen Elizabeth I was reigning, and throughout that bloody period, Masses were celebrated in homes for fear of persecution. These particular settings were actually considered simple and even short then by comparison to their predecessors, and that was to accommodate a clandestine celebration with still some solemnity. But when William Byrd published these Masses, we have some of the folios. They're not given any fancy titles and presentation, or even the printer's name for fear of persecution was not affixed. And so we get to enjoy a piece of history here in hearing that Mass that we just heard. He, in a very short span, composed settings for 3, 4, and 5 voices, and they were neglected for several centuries, up until really the late 1800s, when they were rediscovered and then, ironically, taken up a lot in the Anglican tradition, a great choral tradition that had once, long ago, persecuted in that form of the Mass. But here we get to enjoy it, a rare opportunity, in the intended original context, the worship of Almighty God in the extraordinary form, sometimes called the Tridentine Mass, because it was Just then in the year 1570 by St. Pius V, codified and extended in a uniform way to the whole church. Oftentimes you hear these beautiful mass settings presented in concert, but again here, such a great gift to have St. Joseph Cathedral Choir sing them in their rightful liturgical place. There were several phenomenal Renaissance composers during this era. William Byrd takes his place among the greatest. Thomas Tallis, and the one who inspired them, probably John Taverner, the masses that he would have composed, and then this next generation sung as young choir boys, then. Mass ends, as it were, in the musical composition at the Agnus Dei, at the end of it. It reaches its creative height there, and a final suspended chord then gets resolved, a kind of rare occasion in which the text of that ordinary inspires the music itself with the plea to God to grant us peace, which then comes in the final cadence. The sacred ministers are returning to the sanctuary, up to the altar, to reserve the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. If you're interested in more sacred music of this quality and beauty, William Byrd also composed the propers throughout the entire liturgical year in his Gradualia. There are several great recordings of especially his masses, the 16, or Cambridge Singers. For those, you can definitely find them online. Again, oftentimes just presented on CDs, very popular, but here you get to see how they were originally intended, and with the text and the prayer coming together with the music. So beautiful. Now the priest chants the post-communion prayer. Grant to us, we beseech the Almighty and Merciful God, that we may obtain the invisible effects of that which we have shared by communion in the visible mysteries. After this prayer, there will be the Ite Missa Est. Go forth, the Mass is ended, followed by the blessing.
Amen.
Now the sacred ministers go to the gospel side of the altar, the north side, to pray the last gospel, which is the prologue to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. That text, which mirrors Genesis, of course, in the beginning, before books had titles, that was the first opening phrase that was used as the title, so evoking that and showing the Word there, who, through whom God the Father created the entire universe, who came down into it and entered in time and space, which we have just celebrated in a way in the consecration of the Holy Eucharist, the descent of Christ upon the altar. And there we have the genuflection, et verbum caro factum est, and the Word is made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Then the clergy will assemble for the final recession. Thank you so much for joining us this evening for the Ascension Thursday Solemn High Mass from Holy Family Church. It's been a special presentation of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. For more information about the traditional Latin Mass in Columbus, please visit columbuslatinmass.org. Holy Family and several area parishes offer this extraordinary form on a regular basis. And it's to the great spiritual benefit of our diocese that so many people have the opportunity to take part in this ancient and sublime, reverent form of the sacred liturgy. Again, we appreciate so much your joining us and the sponsorship of St. Gabriel Radio and having this beautiful form of the Mass brought. We thank in a special way St. Joseph's Cathedral Choir for providing the beautiful music and Holy Family Parish for hosting. God bless you all.